Please open to Psalm chapter 17. Start there in just a moment. Psalm chapter 17. This afternoon, I was praying about tonight. How many of you have ever heard of writer's block? Where a writer is supposed to be writing something and just can't seem to figure out what to write. Well, this afternoon I was having preacher's block. And I'm praying, it's like, God, I don't know what you want me to do tonight. And it was interesting. He said, give me 10 minutes. Give me 10 minutes. I said, okay. So I stopped what I was doing and just started praying in tongues. And then when the 10 minutes were over, guess what? He began helping me understand what I was supposed to minister on tonight. And it has to do with the conference that is starting this coming Sunday. As I mentioned a few moments ago, people are already coming in and they'll be arriving starting tomorrow. We have people coming in from various states. People are coming in from other nations. And there'll be people coming here from this area who don't normally attend this church. Now, what this means is each person who considers this to be their church, this is your opportunity for ministry. And I don't say that lightly. I say that in as much seriousness as I possibly can. I need your help. But more importantly, God needs your help. One of the things that I heard Tim Stemple say, I don't remember how long ago it was, but it had to do with one of the conferences there at the prayer center. And what he said made such an impact on me. I wrote it down, I've kept it, and he reminded me of it to share tonight. And here's what he said. All who come to the conference, it may be their last stop before walking away from God. See, we have no idea what people are going through when they come here. Let's be honest. Every one of us knows how to put on a happy face and look good for everyone else. But we honestly don't know what people are going through when they come here. We don't know what they're facing health-wise. We don't know what they're facing financially or job-wise or family-wise or anything. We have no idea what's going on in their lives. And because of that, when they come here, they may not even know fully what to expect. They may not even know for sure why they're coming here. They just have this something on the inside that wants to be here. It is our responsibility, not simply mine, but for those of us who see this as our home church, it is our responsibility to minister to them every single day of the conference, starting on Sunday. Look in Psalm 17, look in verse 8. Keep me as the apple of the eye. And look at this last part. Hide me under the shadow of thy wings. Hide me under the shadow of thy wings. And look over in Psalm 32, verse 7. Thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance. The people that are coming here for this conference, for some of them, this may be their hiding place. That presence of God. This is not simply a conference so that we can say we've had a conference. It never has been. It has been an opportunity for people to come and gather together to receive from God. An opportunity to open up and let God minister to us. But because we're the host church and the host congregation, if you will, there is an expectation from God that we are going to touch every single life that comes here, no matter how old. Every single person who comes here, because we do not know what they're leaving to be here. And this may be the most critical week of their lives. They may be leaving a horrible situation. And when they come here, they're looking for a breath of fresh air. Not simply the word that will be taught and any gifts or demonstrations of power, but they're looking to get away from whatever it is that has been hammering them so they can be here and find a spiritual oasis in the presence of God. And that's where every single person who calls this their home church comes into play. This is your opportunity to be the hand of God extended to the people who'll be here. If you've ever wanted an opportunity, you know, boy, I should look forward to the day when God's going to use me in ministry. This week, this conference week, is it. This is your chance. This is an opportunity for you to minister to the lives of people in such a way that God will work through you and touch them, and it will bring about change forever. That's how serious this is. And we cannot take this responsibility lightly. It's extremely important. You know, keep your finger here in Psalm 32 and look over in Colossians 3. Colossians 3. I begin reading in verse 16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. Your interactions during this conference need to be done in the name of the Lord Jesus, representing Him in every opportunity when you meet people. And you'll notice here in verse 16, it says, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Well, then back over in Psalm 32, verse 7, Thou art my hiding place, thou shalt preserve me from trouble. And the last part of this says, Thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance. Then we just read in Colossians that we're the ones that are to do the singing with grace in our hearts toward the Lord. What you may not understand is that even during our times of praise and worship, this is an opportunity to touch the lives of other people. You see, if people come in and they are really struggling in life, we don't know what's going on. And they come here and they're just looking for some relief, a breath of fresh air. And they see the people in this church with their hands lifted, praising, worshiping, glorifying God. I've taught so much on praise and worship that by now you should understand that as you yield over to God and you begin praising and worshiping Him with sincerity, His presence begins to move in that praise and worship. And it's through you that he is able then to minister to people with these songs of deliverance. In other words, in the midst of the praise and the worship, there are people who could experience a deliverance from something. What? We don't know. But it doesn't matter. It's what they will experience. That means that even during our praise and worship service, the pre-service worship, and then the regular praise and worship services, for us to yield ourselves over to God and just say, Father, I'm here and I'm going to worship you. And if this can be used as a form of intercession on behalf of somebody who's here, God, here am I, use me. And we begin to praise him and we begin to worship him, he'll move through that. And then also, the folks that are coming here, when they see that, just simply seeing you praise, seeing you worship, that is a form of ministry to them. Because it lets them know that you're not here just to be here. You're here because you know how to have an encounter with God through praise and worship. And that by itself can be a form of ministry and inspiration to them. And they can look at you as somebody that if they can just maybe stand next to you in the next service, something is going to happen. They're going to feel the effect of that praise and worship. And it's going to minister to them. These are the kind of things that a lot of people don't consider in such situations. But see, we're here. I mean, this is our house. We're the home team. And we have a responsibility to be used by our coach to minister to people out of his anointing that he will impart to us for this week. It is that critical. Look over in 2 Corinthians chapter 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 24. Not for that we have dominion over your faith. Look at this. But we are helpers of your joy, for by faith ye stand. All this week, every single one of us, we are to be helpers of their joy. We are to be used of God, to yield to God, to let him use us so that we can minister to people. And here's the thing, it's so simple. During greeting time, make a point to get around and greet people you don't know. This isn't just a public relations gimmick. No, this is ministry. These people that are coming here, some of them have been here before, but they're going to be people here for the very first time in their lives. There are going to be people here who maybe have never attended a conference like this. And to have somebody from this church walk up and shake their hand with a smile on your face and say, thank you for being here. Thank you for coming to attend this conference. You know, my name's Guido. Of course, you tell them your own name, right? You know, everybody here is named Guido. I don't get it. You just introduce yourself and say, hi, thank you. You know, I just hope you experience God's presence this week. I mean, see, something that simple, that may be all they need to bring a change in their lives because of what they've been going through. And they just need that kind of a handshake and that kind of smile and to feel God's love through that handshake. It's so simple, and we can dismiss it as not being that critical, but it is that critical. It truly means that much. We're helpers of their joy. And then the next service, other people walk up and do the same thing. And the next service, other people are walking up and doing the same thing. By the time the week is over, hopefully, they're going to feel like they've been in a church full of a bunch of Jesuses. Do you understand what I mean by that? A bunch of people who are actually glad I was here, who loved on me. They have no idea what I've been going through. They don't know what I'm going to go back home to. But they made this week worth every single moment of every service. That is so important. And even to people that come here and you know them, hey, good to see you again. The same thing. Just because you know somebody doesn't mean everything's okay in their life. You don't know. We have no idea who's going to show up, and 5 days before leaving to get here, they got some kind of a lousy diagnosis from a doctor. They need ministry. They need that touch from God. Look over in Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. Verse 24. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. People are coming here. They're not forsaking the assembling of themselves together. They're making an effort to come here. Some people are going to be traveling a few thousand miles to get here. Some folks are driving. Some folks are going to be flying. It's costing them to come here. They're spending money that, who knows what kind of a sacrifice this is for them. Some of them, they're flying, and they're going, it's going to be a long trip. Some of them, they're driving, it'll be a long trip. And who knows, there might be people showing up, they're not sure if they have enough money for all the meals for the entire week. Maybe they've already determined that they're going to be fasting a few lunches or a few suppers or something. I don't know. I really don't know. But I do know people are coming here at great expense to themselves. To me, that's serious. That they would spend money to come here. Look, this is not a 5,000-seat sanctuary where all of the big names are going to be here, and there's going to be a 50-member praise team and all of this. They're coming to a church. I don't think we could seat 200 people in this sanctuary without somebody being squished off the end of a pew. I mean, think about that. And people are coming in here. That's just incredible. That means God is doing something in them, and He's working in them to prepare them for what He wants to do when we all come together in this place. That's just mind-boggling. Who would have thought? You know, I, over time, every now and then I meet people and say, well, you know, we're having a conference at our church. For whatever reason, in the conversation it comes up. Like, yeah, you know, we've got people coming in from throughout the United States and, you know, some other countries and so forth. And in fact, just the other day I was talking to somebody, and somehow it came up in the conversation, and I said, yeah, you know, we've got some folks coming in from Canada and Hong Kong and Northern Ireland. And this person was like, wow. Well, see, if somebody's never been here before and they hear that, in their mind, they're probably thinking, man, that must be a big church. I mean, who would want to travel that far to go to a little church? It's like, yeah, well, I get the point. No insult, you know, no offense. I get it. I understand. We should honor that. This effort that they're making. I mean, who knows how hard they've had to work to get everything ready. Think about this. You know, you work your regular job. You got stuff to do at home. Now you got to make sure you get all the laundry done so you can pack and get here. Especially people are coming from other countries. It's like, what if I forget something? Well, you know, there's always Walmart. Don't worry. We've got a few of those around. We must honor that and honor them. And he says here, consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. We need to be provokers. We need to minister to them, again, out of God's love and exhorting them. Because we don't know what's going to happen once they leave. And remember, what if sometime between the end of this conference and our next conference, some of these folks pass away? You say, that's pretty morbid. Yeah, I know. But it's a reality. Now, I'm not saying anybody is, but we don't know what's going to happen. We need to send them away with a memory of one of the most glorious weeks in their life. Something that they'll go back and tell other people about. You know, well, how was the trip? How was that conference you went to? Hey, listen, you know, the services were great, but the people, man, I felt like I was bathed with love when I was there. They actually seemed like they were happy to see me. They acted like they were glad I was there. I'd never been in anything like this before. It was incredible. You know, hopefully they'll have another one because I'd like to go back. See, that's how we can be a blessing to our Father, to represent Him to all these people that are coming in. I mean, I don't know about you, but leading up to this conference, I've encountered some battles. No need to go into them. But I've encountered some battles. Okay, I'll tell you one. I go to the dentist yesterday. And I won't tell you everything, but let's just say the tooth, well, he was going to work on more than one tooth. But the one tooth that he thought he was going to have to do a root canal on, after 4 shots of Novocaine, it did nothing to numb the tooth. Absolutely, positively nothing. He thought I was numb. I'm hoping I was numb. He starts drilling, and we both discovered I'm not numb. At one point, I literally, my body started responding, and my arms started shaking. It's not like I was, you know, doing it on purpose. Was there pain? Pain. Hey, I'm the man. And after I stopped crying, I told the dentist as much. Really, I am the man. Okay, I wasn't expecting that. It was a battle of sorts. But there have been other things. And no doubt, some of you in here have encountered some things you did not anticipate. Well, you know what? Based on what's happened just with me here in the last 3 weeks, I think this is going to be a very good conference. I think somehow in the realm of the Spirit, the enemy can see, I don't know how to describe this, maybe he can see God releasing an anointing onto people in preparation for the conference. Maybe that's not the best way to describe it. I don't know. But I do know this. He's been trying to interfere. And I've been reminding him over and over, you're not going to win. No, you're not doing this. No, you're not. No, we're having a good conference. You're not going to mess things up. You're flat out not. And he's not. We're going to experience God's presence. Now look over in Acts chapter 6. And for those of you who are wondering, my jaw is still recovering. Glory to God.
In Acts chapter 6, verse 1, and in those days, when the number of the disciples were multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews. The Grecians, I found out that doesn't mean the Gentiles. It means Jews who spoke Greek, basically. That to kind of sum it up. And the Hebrews, well, the Jews who spoke Hebrew. And so there's a bit of a conflict there. Because there, the Grecians' widows were neglected in the daily ministration. Well, the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, it is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Now, why would that even come up? It's because apparently somebody must have thought they should have. You know, you guys are spending too much time in prayer. You need to get out here and help. And they said, wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. And the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost, and Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Parmenas. Why not just Ralph and Steve and Bob and Joe? And Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch, whom they set before the apostles, and when they had prayed, they laid their hands on them. And the word of God increased, and the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith. Now, using this passage as an illustration, I cannot do it all by myself. I simply can't. There's no one person here who can. However, every single one of you, you're a Stephen, you're a Philip, you're a Prochorus, a Nicanor, a Timon, a Parmenas, or a Nicholas. That's you. That's you. You are in that verse. And just as they were approved to help minister to all the people, the same is true for every one of you. You are approved to minister to the people who are coming in. You know, every morning you wake up in a different mood. Sometimes you wake up in a good mood. Sometimes you wake up in a lousy mood. Sometimes you wake up in a I don't want to see anybody on earth mood. Well, you have to fight through that. You have to fight through it. If you have to, worship your way past it, even before you get here, so that when you come in here, you are an Acts chapter 6 representative of Jesus Christ, ministering to the people who are here. This conference, it's not the time to get with people and start, you know, declaring your own personal doctrine and revelation. Don't do it. They didn't come here for that. Oh, they may come here and do it themselves. But don't do it. Don't get into debates or discussions over, well, what I think or what, you know. I mean, don't. It's just, trust me. Just don't. It's not a time for you to go around and give prophetic words to people who are here at the conference. Don't do it. But what if the Lord speaks to me? I've been in so many conferences. There are people who feel like the Lord spoke to me to give so-and-so a word. And I'm not convinced it's always of God. And I'll leave it at that. This conference is not the time to prove that you can hear God and go around giving your prophecies to people. It's not the time for you to be talking about all of your dreams and your visions and your visitations with the Lord and words that the Lord has given to you. It's not the time for you to be complaining about everything. This stupid health care law, I tell you what. No, that's not what this is for. This conference is not for you to sow into somebody's life how much you don't like your job or how much you don't like me. You don't. This is not the conference for that. It's not a time to complain about anything. The joy of the Lord is to be your strength, and you're to be ministering out of that strength and out of that joy. You're here to act on God's behalf as hosts for His conference, doing everything you possibly can to facilitate a glorious time for every person who will be attending. I don't feel like I am adequately conveying to you the critical nature of all of this. Because I know that it can be very easy for people who are faithful in their attendance, but they just don't see themselves as having as much value to the Lord as they really do. And I'm trying to get across to you that this is an opportunity for you to be used of God. You're not just I attend this church. No, you are a minister of Jesus Christ. And He's wanting to work through you to touch the lives of these people who are coming in for the conference. When these folks get here, they are to feel as though they have walked into your living room as a part of your family. That's how loved and welcomed they need to feel when they get here. It's that important to them. See, the closer we get to the return of Jesus, as you guys know, things are going to get rougher in this world. We're seeing it happen right before our very eyes. One of the ways that we're going to make it through is by having a bond of unity within the body of Christ. What if things get so bad, and I'm just making something up, what if things get so bad that we have to leave Dayton, Ohio? I mean, what if things get so bad we have to leave Dayton, Ohio? Jesus said, when you put me in first place in your life, even if the rest of your family turns their back on you, trust me, you're going to have a greater number, I'm paraphrasing, a greater number of mothers and sisters and brothers and so forth. Part of what he was talking about is you're going to have family all over this world and you will be welcomed. And that hit me here a few years ago in the travels where I have gone in ministry. I can tell you right now, If I go back to some of these places and to some of these countries, I have a home. I have a place to stay. Well, see, that's part of the unity in the body of Christ that God wants established. Kathy and I have heard people say, hey, listen, if you're ever in, and then wherever they live, you know, man, we got a room for you. It's like, well, praise God. But it's not just me. It's the body of Christ. Look over in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. You're to touch these folks that come in here with love, even if you feel like they don't need it. And what I mean is, you know, oh, well, I know this guy. I mean, he pastors a church, man. He's got a whole congregation of folks that love him. What, you don't know what's been going on in his church and how unloved he's been feeling lately. We just don't know. And even if he's felt more love than he's ever felt in his life at his own church, well, coming here, we just add to it. You know, let's put it in terms that we can all relate to. You know, home-baked brownies are some of the best things that God ever invented on planet Earth. So give them brownie love. Brother Martin, that doesn't even make sense. I know, I'm grasping at straws here. All right, 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I'm grasping at brownies. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Look here, verse 27. Now ye are the body of Christ and members in particular. Do you realize these folks that are coming in for the conference, they're part of the body? Man, we've got shoulders and elbows and hips and knees and all kinds of stuff coming in for this conference. We've got people coming in that are part of the body of Christ just like we are. Now, there may be some folks come in that, okay, let me just share from my experiences in conferences, all right? Sometimes people show up, they're a little different, to put it mildly. But they still need to be loved. And if you're not sure how, God, pray. Seriously, you ask God, okay, God, just and be honest. God, this person is really kind of weird. What can I do to show your love but not encourage weirdness? What can I do? Hey, I've prayed in similar fashion, you know, not those exact words, but, you know, God, how can I, you know, what do you want me to, how do I minister, whatever. He'll tell you. He'll let you know. He'll help you. And I'm not saying that you got to get weird about it, go around and like start hugging everybody. Say, oh, I'm just so glad you're here. Why? In other words, don't make it soapy. Don't make it sugary, artificial. You know, pastor said I had to shake her hand. I really don't want to. But make it real. And pray about it. God, help me to show genuine love to people the way that I need to during this conference. Because again, guys, like I said, for every one of us, this is our home church, this is your opportunity to be used of God to minister to other people. And I can tell you this, I know that God is looking forward to using you in this way. This is going to be a wonderful week. And just think of, I don't know how he's going to do it, but, you know, Jesus said, you can't even give a cup of cold water to somebody, you know, on my behalf and not be rewarded for it. There will be a blessing. I don't know what that means, but there will be a blessing. There will be a reward for this. But we don't do it for the reward. We do it because we love Jesus and he loves us. And we just want people to know God loves you. And we're glad that you're here this week to share his presence with us. Praise God. Okay, that's all. He just wanted me to encourage you along those lines. Say, bless God, Brother Martin, you need to listen to him more often. This was everybody stand.